Are we ready to open next month?
I think so.
You think so?
Well, it's complicated. Fire protection, first aid supplies, uniforms, safety training, mat services. Oh, and restroom supplies.
So uncomplicated. Call CentOS. They'll handle all of it.
Wow. One company can handle all that? That's not very complicated.
So, you'll be ready?
Oh, we'll be ready.
Oh, I'm ready!
Learn how CentOS can help you get ready for the workday. Visit CentOS.com.
You are Locked On Titans, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Titans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to another edition of Locked On Titans. I'm Jimmy Morris, joined as always by Terry Lambert. Terry, how are you tonight?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing well. All right, so as we kind of get into the bye week here, obviously there's not going to be probably any news on the field until Monday when the Titans come back. The players have the whole week off. Mike Mularkey said yesterday the coaches will be here through the week, and they'll get the weekend off before everything kicks back up next week, and they start preparing for the Ravens second half of the season. So we figure for the next two episodes, we will tonight look at the offensive side of the ball. Tomorrow night, look at the defensive side of the ball. Talk about maybe our biggest surprises thus far that we've seen, biggest disappointments that we've seen, and then kind of where we picture the offense tonight, obviously, how we picture them looking in the second half, how we see it going forward. So that's kind of our game plan for the next couple of days. Before we get started, I will remind everyone about the promotion we're running with Pro Football Focus. If you rate and review Locked On Titans on iTunes, leave your Twitter handle in the review, you'll be entered to win a year-long subscription to PFF. A lot of good stuff on there that can help you. Fantasy football, a lot of good stuff for that. And then also just grades every week. You'll see us reference that on MuseumMiracles.com a lot. We write about that kind of stuff a lot. They have a lot of good draft stuff, too, when we get to that point of the season. So, like I said, rate and review the podcast, Locked On Titans on iTunes. Leave your Twitter handle in the review to be entered. All right, so for me, the biggest surprise thus far on offense has been the offensive line and the inability to get a push and the Titans' inability to run between the tackles. And we've talked ad nauseum, it feels like, about the running backs and who should run when and all that stuff. So we won't really get into that much tonight. But, you know, this offensive line was really, really good last year, was, you know, the best thing that the team had going for them. You know, Josh Klein was really the only weak link of that unit. You had Taylor Lewan, Jack Conklin, you know, looked like they were poised to be the best tackle duo in the league. Ben Jones played really well. Quentin Spain, undrafted guy they found, came in and played really well. This year hadn't been the same. It hasn't been the same, especially from a run blocking perspective. There's still been some good, but you know, Josh Klein, oddly enough, has graded out as the best run blocking lineman a few weeks, at least according to Pro Football Focus. And I don't know what the answer is. Somebody on Twitter today said that teams got tape and they figured out how to attack the weaknesses. And I think that can be true for some things. I'm not really sure how that's true for an offensive line as a whole. That would make a lot of sense to me. But, I mean, I guess it's as good of an answer as any because I don't know what the right answer is.
Yeah, and, you know, my biggest disappointment so far was going to be Mariota. And that might go hand in hand with some of the struggles we've seen up front. Just kind of the lack of a true, real dynamic passing game. You know, maybe that's just kind of loading the box and stuff like that. So it's a huge concern to me about the offensive line. It's really – I don't have an answer. You know, we've said that a lot. And the only thing that I can really come up with is Anthony Fasano losing him to the Dolphins. I know he's not viewed as a huge piece, but they moved him around a lot, and they used him almost exclusively as a run blocker, and he was just a huge part of this offense. So, and I kind of said that in the offseason that the Titans would kind of miss him. But to Jonnu Smith's credit, I thought he's come in and played well, and he's been one of the pleasant surprises on this team. But obviously there's a big cliff from Fasano to him. But for me, the disappointing thing has been Mariota. And I'm shocked that I'm sitting here saying that. But here we are. It's just it's really at the beginning of these games. And I don't know why. Maybe it's Mularkey's want to stick with the run game and want to wear people down. But for whatever reason, this pass game is just dead in the first quarter of these games. They just can't come out of the locker room and score points. And it just seems like they're put behind the eight ball every weekend, and it's frustrating. You've seen Mariota miss high, and, you know, he's been hurt, so it's kind of hard to put all that on him last week. But still, when he was healthy, he was inconsistent at best. The Titans have to figure out a way to come out in the first half and start scoring some points.
Yeah, I think that's it with me. I mean, you talk about him being inconsistent. And so if I'm, you know, the coaching staff, I'm racking my brain trying to figure out how can we help him be more consistent. And, again, I go back to the fact that, you know, when he gets in a rhythm, that's when you see the consistency from him, when he has these games where they don't run successfully. You know, he's got one throw on third down, and it's third and eight. And, you know, they don't get it, and they're off the field for a long time, and they come back and kind of do the same thing. It seems like those are the games where he never quite gets it going. If they're able to sustain the run game early, they're able to, you know, get some drives going. He gets settled in, and then he seems to do better. So, I mean, my answer to that, as I've said before, would be just one game. Try it once, come out and spread it out a little bit early on, let him throw it around, let him get comfortable, and then settle into your, you know, trying to establish a run game. But, yeah, I mean, you're right. The consistency thing is what right now keeps him from being on that elite level.
Yeah, and you know, last week seemed like a week where they could have done it. Maybe they didn't feel healthy or good enough about his health. But certainly that was a secondary that you could have attacked. And I'm still not sure why they didn't. I just don't think we'll ever see that. You know, we can scream about it all we want. I just don't think we'll see that from this staff. Maybe in the future with a different head coach, maybe we see kind of them let Mariota kind of open things up and play more of a Aaron Rodgers type game. But for now, it seems like we're going to get the jumbo sets. We're gonna just ground and pound until the Titans wear teams down. And unfortunately for Mariota, he's just kind of going to play that behind-the-scenes type role and just kind of take what the defense gives him.
Yeah, and like you said, I mean, the answer, I think, pretty clearly is they're not ever going to do that because this was the week to do it. If you were ever going to do something like that, facing that secondary, as bad as they've been, you know, and like we talked about, McCourty not being there, I mean, that was the perfect time to do it. And maybe it was the health thing. Maybe if Mario was completely healthy, it would have been different. I tend to think it wouldn't be just because what we've seen from him in the past, but yeah, the fact they didn't do it on Sunday leads me to believe that it's not ever going to happen. So my biggest disappointment to this point has been the lack of Eric Decker usage. And, you know, I think that some people had unrealistic expectations for what Eric Decker was going to be when the Titans signed him. You know, thought he was going to be the guy that was going to come in and, you know, have 1,000-yard receiving. I never thought he was going to be that guy. But I thought he was going to be a guy that they could rely on third down in the red zone. You know, we heard so much about how good the Titans were in the red zone last year, how efficient Marcus Mariota is has been in the red zone. And then you bring in Eric Decker, who's one of the best, you know, red zone receivers in the game right now, just from a route running perspective and catching the ball, understanding defense, understanding, you know, how to find the holes and zones and that type of stuff. So, I mean, it seemed like something that would, you know, take that red zone efficiency to a new level. Now, I mean, there was always going to be some regression because the Titans were just like astronomically good last season, and that's not something that was going to be able to be sustained. But I felt like they could stay kind of close to a similar level, bringing in a guy like Decker, where they hadn't really had a weapon like that as long as Mariota had been here. And then thus far, it just hasn't come to fruition. I mean, he had a good game against the Colts on Monday night 2 weeks ago, but, you know, it only had two targets and it didn't catch either one of them on Sunday. That's kind of been, you know, what we've seen so far from him. Now, I think part of it is he hasn't been able to be the slot guy, which I think they hoped he would be so far. They had to use him outside with Corey Davis being injured. Decker himself was injured. Mariota's been injured. So, I mean, I think all of that does play into it a little bit, but I really thought we would see him make an impact on this team, and we haven't seen it so far.
Yeah, I can get on board with that. I mean, I kind of thought we'd get the guy that we saw 2 years ago with the Jets, who caught 12 touchdowns. I really thought that he would be a red zone presence, and maybe he will be. But I think he's been forced to play more on the outside than we thought he would be with the injury to Corey Davis. So maybe we again, maybe we kind of see him pop once Davis gets back and the stress can kind of be taken off of him. For me, another disappointment for me has been the downfield passing game. I thought the Titans made some big strides there last year. But, again, it was built off the play-action game with Rishard Matthews mainly down the field. So that's kind of an area where I thought they'd be better, especially with Taywan Taylor bringing him in with his speed. You know, they can still use Matthews in that role too. But, again, all this comes back to not having Corey Davis and the run game not working. That seems to be, like, the two main factors. So when Davis gets back, maybe that opens some things up. You certainly hope so. But, again, first and foremost, they've got to figure out how to run the football.
Yeah, because, again, they're not going to give that up. I don't think.
No, they're not.
And I don't know. Maybe they would at some point when – but I mean, at this point, I don't know when. I mean, you saw Sunday, it really wasn't working at all, and they kept trying to do it. They've got to get that figured out. And, you know, again, hopefully that's something Mike Mularkey said in his press conference on Monday, that, you know, the staff was going to sit down and look at every single play that they had run this year and, you know, kind of grade themselves and look for a way. So hopefully they can figure out something when they do that. But, you know, and I don't know, are we – I think we all are kind of feeling like, okay, well, when Corey Davis comes back, you know, it's going to make all this stuff different. And do you think maybe we're putting too much weight in that at this point?
Probably. You know, just seeing what he did week one, you know, the ability to go up and get that football over David Amerson. You know, we saw Decker have a similar play down the sidelines this week, and he wasn't able to come down with the football. So, I don't know. The things that I saw that guy do in college, he just made that offense go. I mean, he forced coverage to take notice of where he was on the field. And again, we're not saying he's going to come in and catch, you know, go 200 yards a game. But he's going to, you know, attract attention. He's going to take the pressure off Matthews and Walker and the run game. It's just another weapon out there, another potent weapon. You know, there's a difference between putting Corey Davis out there and plugging Eric Weems in for a play. So that's a big deal to me. And again, you've got the bye week to kind of work it out and figure out where these things have gone wrong and kind of game plan to get him back in the playbook again. So I'm hopeful. But like you said, we kind of need to temper our expectations.
Yeah, and so, I mean, that's, I guess, moving into kind of the next phase of this. You know, what do we expect going forward? I do expect it to look different with Corey Davis out there, like you said. I mean, you just saw the impact that he made in his first NFL game after missing the majority of training camp, not playing at all in the preseason. You know, saw him go out there and catch six balls. So, I mean, I think, you know, I mean, I know you were beating the Corey Davis drum from the beginning of the draft process last year. And, you know, we know the type of special impact he can have. So, you know, on one hand, I think it'd be silly to not think that his return wouldn't make any kind of difference, because it clearly will. He's a special talent. That's why he goes with the fifth overall pick. But at the same time, I'm just not sure. I'm just interested to see how they're going to use him, because if they're not really going to change up the game plan that much, then what does it matter that he's out there? But again, the fact that they threw the ball to him, he caught six balls in the opener, I think tells you how they feel about him. And Mike Mularkey has continued to rave about him, you know, during this whole process. And if you remember last year when Kendall Wright was missing time with a hamstring and Mularkey and Rubisky were kind of hammering him, you know, they've had nothing but good things to say about Corey Davis this whole time that he's been out, and about his mental preparation and all that stuff. So, and again, I think it'll allow them to do some different things. It'll allow them to move Eric Decker into the slot, more the role they brought him into play and stuff. So, I mean, I think from that standpoint, it'll help the offense. And hopefully can loosen some things up down the field, or, you know, they can get some things down the field, loosen some things up in the middle, and that will hopefully help the run game. I mean, that's kind of what we've got to be hoping for at this point, because, like we've been saying, I mean, if this run game doesn't go, then this team's going to have trouble winning much of anything.
Yeah, and just to kind of build off that, you might not see the impact in the box score. Like, you might not see Davis put up huge numbers just because there's mouths to feed in this offense. But you might see a bump for Delanie Walker. You know, you might see a bump for Eric Decker. You might see a bump in the run game. So I think having just a guy out there like that with his talent is going to force attention And it's gonna force teams to kind of take notice. You know, we saw, what was it, 10 targets week one. He was second on the team in receptions. So clearly Mariota had some established chemistry with him, and they look good out there. So you just hope that they can keep that going. You know, what's it been, what, 7-8 weeks now?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it has been. And but again, the thing, like we're saying, the thing that I guess just gives me confidence that they can is because they really didn't get a whole lot of time together before that first game. Because if you remember, you know, Mariota was, I mean, he participated in some of the OTA stuff, but not, you know, to the extent Corey Davis was, I mean, he came in and participated, but, you know, he was coming off that ankle injury. So, you know, hopefully they'll be in a good spot when they both get back out there. And that's the thing. I mean, I think overall we have to say to this point, the offense as a whole has been a disappointment. I mean, there's not one thing you can point to really right now on the offensive side of the ball and say that's gone better than we expected it to go, or, you know, better than we reasonably expected it to go. I think, you know, we had maybe too high of expectations for some parts of the offense, but even just kind of a realistic looking at last year, kind of that baseline, nothing to this point has outperformed what we thought it would be able to do. And so, you know, from that standpoint, the only place to go from here is up. And I just hope that they're able to realize the potential that we think they have.
Yeah, and one more thing. Use Taylor and Taylor and use Jonnu Smith. I mean,
yeah.
It's ridiculous that you've invested 2 third-round picks in these guys and we've seen so little production out of them to this point. So I think Taylor and Taylor is just he's a matchup guy. He's a guy with speed. He's a guy that can do a lot of everything on offense. So he's just like we said last night or 2 nights ago, give that shovel pass to him. Don't give it to Eric Weems. That's just weird. I mean, I don't know why you would give Eric Weems offensive touches. And, you know, I thought they've done some creative things with Jonnu Smith down the field, using the wheel routes, using the seam routes, even using him as a receiver. There was a play, I believe it was the Seattle game, where they lined him up at receiver and just had him run a 9 route, and he had his guy beat, but Mariota just missed him. So use those guys. I mean, there's going to come a point in time where they're a better option than Eric Decker, and I think you might see that going forward. I haven't been really impressed with Eric Decker. Like you said, he was one of your disappointments. And maybe it's something to where we see Decker playing a little less, and maybe Taylor playing a little more.
Yeah, and like you said, even if you're not going to feature Taywan Taylor, which I don't think we really expect them to do, we've seen shovel passes to Eric Weems. We saw an attempted shovel pass to Eric Decker in the game on Sunday.
Why?
We've seen bubble screens. Yeah, we've seen bubble screens to Eric Decker. Why? And we talked before, like, I hate a bubble screen, but if you're going to throw it to somebody, throw it to Taywan Taylor. Throw it to somebody that has the ability to do something with it once they get the ball in their hand. So, yeah, I mean, I think there are some simple things that they could do that they're not doing. And, again, hopefully, you know, you self-scout and you see that and you're able to get it going. So that's kind of, I guess, what we can hope for. And, again, I think this offense, that they haven't scratched the surface of what they can be. But I just hope in the second half of the season it is able to all come together, because it just hasn't to this point. Anything else on the offensive stuff tonight?
Just real quick, I'm not sure the Titans are as set as we thought they were at running back. And I know that's a big can of worms to get into. But, you know, you've got to get a guy back there that has some explosiveness to him. You know, I know Derrick Henry. I know what he did at the combine. I know for his size he's explosive. But he's kind of a long speed guy. It takes him a second to get up to speed. I'd just love to see a pass catcher type that can come out of the backfield with some speed, with some burst, and make some guys miss. DeMarco Murray at this point, he is what he is, and you know, honestly, Derrick Henry and him aren't too far apart in that. So to have nothing behind him is a little odd. I know they've got flu season back there, but. I think that's kind of an underrated need, way off, but kind of going into the off season.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is something that they need to be able to do. And I think that DeMarco Murray's time here is limited, you know, just from a contract standpoint, from a, you know, just usage standpoint, you know, the carries that he has. So I think it does make a lot of sense to try to add a guy that can that can be a complement to Derrick Henry, because eventually that's going to be a thing that they really do need. And so, I mean, I think that's something they should have their eyes towards, whether it's in free agency or, you know, ideally the draft in the next couple of years. I mean, I think that would give this offense another dimension, you know, something else, something they don't have right now. So I think it's a really great point. Anything else?
That's all I got.
All right, so that sounds good. All right, so like I said, tomorrow night we'll talk a little bit about the defense. And, you know, I think we'll have kind of some similar thoughts about the defense. There are some – but the good news on the defense side of the ball is there are some guys that have played a little bit above expectations to this point. And so we'll have a little bit to talk about there. Anyway, so that's what we got for tonight. Like I said, tune in tomorrow for talk about the defense. Check out our work, musiccitymiracles.com. You can see all of our, you know, daily articles that we write there. Like I said, we'll have a lot of recap stuff about the draft. About the season at this point. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at JMorrisMCM. Terry is at TLambertFB. So that's all for Locked On Titans tonight, and we will talk to you again tomorrow. Napa
know-how. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how. Napa know-how. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.